Cadet has been on a personal journey of self-awareness, enlightenment, and growth since 1987, following a near-death experience as a result of a snowmobile accident in February of 1989. Renee realized that his life was about to take a major turn as childhood memories began to resurface, and he reawakened his deep trance psychic abilities. As he later recalled, his parents had taken him at the age of 3 to see a psychiatrist because he was always talking in his sleep. At age 5, he told his father that he wanted to go to sleep and get paid for it. Since 1993, Renee has been actively challenging. We just turned this into quite a different show.
Yeah, no kidding.
Actively channeling the wonders. The wonders have made clear on several occasions that they chose to speak only through Renee. Thus, Renee continues to be the exclusive channel to the information being presented by the wonders. The website is www.thewonders.com. That's thewonders, W-O-N-D-E-R-S. No spaces or hyphens or anything, just thewonders.com. And we have to welcome back Renee and Maggie Gaudette to Ghostly Talk.
Hello, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Beth.
How
you doing?
It's really great to have you guys back on. It's been a while, and I've been telling people this, past guests and whatnot, and I'm going to keep it going here this weekend, too.
It's so true.
Yeah, well, no, what's going on, is I've been going through a lot of our past guests over the last few years, and I'm like, who do I want to have, I want to bring some of these people back that were really cool, and you guys were another set of, Renee and Maggie, you guys were at the top of our list to come back, so we're really, really excited you guys are back so we can talk to you guys in the wonders again.
Well, I'm glad.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, I just remembered something.
Yeah.
Did any one of you quit smoking?
Tried and failed.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Renee, I will say this to you. I went for about a month. I went for about a month, and it was grueling. And then I think I got laid off. So, you know, and there's my excuse for tonight, you know what I mean? But I gave it a shot, I know, so we're
I tried too, and it didn't take, but I'm not going to stop.
Okay, well, that's good. I just thought I'd ask, though. I just remembered as you were going with that intro, which sounded pretty good, actually. I was thinking to myself, geez, I remember you guys talking about that.
There is indeed a ban on smoking in the haunted Warren Winery.
I think we're kind of crawling before we can walk when it comes to smoking, Renee, because, yeah, that's one big thing. See, back in the day, when we first started doing this show, we'd fill up an ashtray next to the mixing board.
Bad.
It was ridiculous, right?
It was bad. It looked like, you know, like 70s and 80s rock bands.
It was
rehearsals. It was just clouds of smoke with ashtrays and cigarette butts all over.
Well, we built this new studio for the show like the middle of last year. One of the things I said is like, okay, look, you know, we spent all this time on this thing, all this money. Nobody's smoking in here, except for one time I remember that people smoked in here, and that was when I was out of town, Renee. And I'll tell you all about that on the phone later if you want. But
were bad, but no, that was the only time because you know it's better for the equipment, it's better for us.
Yeah.
Sure.
So there's a ban on it in here and that, and so slowly
we're hopefully just like, you know, we're getting non-smoking hotel rooms.
Yep.
That's another thing that we're doing. So we're getting ourselves in there, Renee. So we're getting better. I think we're improving.
Well, that's funny. That's great.
That's a long-winded explanation of when you asked us, like, have you guys quit smoking yet? Well, there you go. We're basically BSing you right now.
Pretty soon it'll be like, why are we bothering? You know, that's what it'll be, and, you know, it's slowly building up to that.
Hey, whatever turns your crank, you know, whatever's good for you guys.
So we're going to talk to the Wonders tonight again, which was really cool last time. And yeah. I don't remember if I asked you this last time when you were, you know, when you guys were on the show here. I'm interested in, like, in the mechanics of this thing, like how this works. I mean, I don't know if you go into deep trance or how this works. I mean, we're not physically there, and I've heard things. Maybe Maggie can explain this to us. Like, you know, what do you see when he starts to channel the Wonders, Maggie?
Well, he's laying back in his chair. He takes one deep breath, and he's gone. And the breath is for me so that I can get the equipment ready and whatnot.
Okay.
Press a button. And his hands move a little bit. He's laying back, and his fingers move up and down a little bit. And that's it. His eyes are closed. He looks like he's sleeping.
And then
except for the movement of the fingers.
Well, yeah, and then of course he's talking too. We hear him.
Yeah, exactly. When
the flapping of the lips and the moving of the fingers.
Yeah, that's what the Wonders call it: flapping of the lips.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you guys want to see it, it's actually there's a video of me on the website now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
At thewonders.com. That's the website.
Under retreats, and you'll see a little clip there, 10-minute clip of. From the Illusion of Consciousness workshop that we did, a retreat that we did, and you'll see me channeling on that one.
Oh, fantastic. That's totally cool. Now, and I have to ask you again, Renee, I don't know if we talked about this last time also, but, you know, hey, just to refresh my curiosity, what do you feel, what are you seeing when you start to channel the Wonders?
It's really hard to explain. It's like all of a sudden, when I let go, I'm just gone. It's like literally I explode into the universe. That's how it feels. It's like I'm no longer me. I'm just part of everything. And I have a really great time. I enjoy myself. I have fun. It feels like fun. I can't say that I actually know where I'm going. It just feels like fun. It feels like joy, really. And then when I come back, it feels like I've just been a few minutes ago gone and come back again. And I don't know what went on while I was gone.
Oh, really? Wow. So, I mean, you're saying that it's joy, though.
Yeah, it's like, think of, how can I put it? Think of, you know, remember Star Trek? Okay, the intro in Star Trek?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, in Star Trek, you know where they go, and all of a sudden they go into warp drive?
Yeah, hyperspace. Yep.
Right, okay. Well, that's how it feels.
Oh, cool.
It's
kind of like driving with Bonnie.
Yeah, similar to driving with Bonnie. Then. Yeah.
Our friend Bonnie, she just loves to go into hyperspace as much as possible.
Well, there you go. That's sort of like the way I drive, too. But that's
I think If they invent that for cars, it's for Bonnie.
Well, I think your method's a lot, I think your method's a lot safer, Renee.
Yeah, to be in the chair, yeah.
There's been a few times where I didn't think we were going to make it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Wasn't it scary or anything? I mean, I know part of your bio that I didn't read was, develop the ability to remove 99.9% of the logical mind personality and fears during the deep trance channeling sessions. Because it seems to me a lot, one of the things is, the closest thing that that any of us would have come to something like the state that you're in when you're channeling is perhaps an out of body experience. And I know through reading a lot of literature that's scary to some people because there is the overriding fear of what if I don't come back kind of thing. And I'm pretty sure that that's not like a logical fear. It's more of an irrational fear, but. There's got to be some kind of thing like what's going on when I'm gone? There's got to be these big question marks when you come back. And so, how did you address those fears?
Well, when I first started, I agree with you that those were some of the concerns that I had. But because I record everything, it would made it easier for me to be able to deal with all of that. And then, of course, before Maggie came into my life, I had a number of other people helping me, but I never felt really comfortable to let go completely. So there was always a part of my consciousness that hung around just to be sure that nothing bad happened to me. And then when I met Maggie, like the Wonder said, she was the missing link, not the hairy one, but the missing link.
Yay.
And, yes, thank God. For me, especially. And, so really there was a trust there. There's a real feeling of being taken care of, a protection, an awareness that we've done this many, many lifetimes. And there was a comfortableness so that I could just let go. And when we first started, I was doing it sitting up, and the hands would move in front of me. And then, because I felt comfortable, that's when I decided to try it a different way. And I lay back, and then all of a sudden, the wonders came to me and said, "Why are you like letting go is becoming difficult?" And they said to me, "Why are you finding it difficult? Because really, letting go is as easy as a snap of your fingers. What you do before is justification for letting go." So at that point, I thought, okay, well, I don't need to justify, so I just let go, and this is why now I can do it with one breath. I'm the only channeler in the world that I know of that can do it with one breath.
Yeah, and that is part of the channeling thing, though. You notice, I mean, I've seen a lot of people who other people who channel, and they have to they sit there and breathe maybe sometimes for 5 minutes, you know.
Yeah, it takes time. Exactly. I mean, you know.
Go ahead, Renee.
Sorry. I was going to say, well, that's all justification. That's all the justification for just letting go. And a lot of channelers, they go through a countdown, they go through, you know, like you say, a breathing, they go through a ritual,
yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a ritual that they put in place to help them relax, to let go. And the wonders told me a long, long time ago, that's not necessary. Just let go. And so that's what I do now.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the way we've got a bit of a ritual, and you'll hear when I bring through the wonders, but really it's there to help Maggie, number one, catch up with the electronics.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, mm-hmm. the fingers aren't as fast as my breathing.
Yeah, there's still the physical limitations here on our side.
Yeah.
We have
yeah.
to go through, yes.
On my side, yeah.
Because otherwise I would just be gone and she'd have to catch up. And it's happening more and more where she's actually having to do that because a lot of times I'll just say, okay, and I'm gone.
Yeah.
And then she has to all of a sudden say, oh, dang, I got to record it. You know, so it's happening more and more that way. But that's really all it is everything that the people, and because I can do this, I can just let go this way, of course, I don't have my filters in place. I don't have my own filters there. And I've learned through choice, actually, to let go of all of my filters so that when I do channel, I don't have to be present in any way, shape, or form.
Wow, that's amazing. And talk about a journey to get to this point. I mean, I imagine there were, you know, bumps and curves, but, finally
you figure it out. You know, like you said in the intro, I was 3 years old. My parents thought I was crazy, right?
Right.
So they take me to see a psychiatrist. Now imagine this. You're a 3-year-old. You're standing maybe 2 or 3 feet off the ground. Mm-hmm. And this man stands in front of you and tells you that everything that you believe in, everything that you know is real for you, is not real.
Mm. Wow.
Okay. So and you're trying to tell him that, no, he's not real, but you are. So it's like, that doesn't work so well. So I've really set it all aside most of my life, and it wasn't until back in 87 when I started to realize that I could do this again. And that's when I connected to it.
Well, thank heavens. Thank heavens you can.
Yeah.
It's definitely helping a lot of people all over the world.
And oh, yeah. So. And now we have retreats. We just finished a nice, an amazing retreat 3 weeks ago, was it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It was about 3 weeks ago,
yeah.
I guess. Two weeks ago we finished it. And it was on, what the heck was it on now? Oh, Changing the Self Through Sound and Vibration.
Mm.
And there was 20 people from all over the world. From Australia to England to Norway to Netherlands to U.S., Canada. Everybody came in to just north of here, Collingwood, Ontario, Canada. And they had organic food for 2 weeks. They had spring water for 2 weeks. Everything that they could want. You know, it was all organized that way. We organized it that way, right?
Uh-huh.
And then they changed themselves over 2 weeks using sound and vibration and the wonders. And it was amazing. People, that's why I was asking about quitting smoking. There was 4 people in the group that quit smoking.
That's amazing.
We better get shipped up there next time. Maybe it'll straighten our act up a little bit.
It was like all of a sudden they came to a point and they said, yep, I can do that. And they just chose, and they didn't smoke for 2 weeks, and they haven't smoked since.
Oh, fantastic.
We did energy healing. So Wonders did a public session where people come from all over and come in and just receive an energy healing from the Wonders. And we've had people change their complete lives with just in 1 hour of energy healing.
It's so empowering.
Yeah.
It's amazing because you're showing people that they can do these things and that
exactly.
their lives are
well, they can
worthwhile
make, they can
and
make
they can
a change.
Steer them where they you know. Need to be. Yeah.
There's
yeah.
been a, we've all, I know both and I, well, Doug and I have been through a lot of changes.
Oh, wow.
You know, forced and not forced, you know. It's the way
well,
it is.
Nothing's ever forced.
I mean, since the last time we talked, you know, I mean, you know, the smoking thing, unfortunately, is something that hasn't changed. but you know, there's been a lot, you know, there's been the tribulations and stuff that we've went through. And, I mean, I think I can identify with those people, you know, with any of those things, you know, be it smoking to anything else. That's, you know, I know what they're talking about. So
it's powerful, powerful. And the retreats we run are intense, very intense. They have, people had 3 sessions with the Wonders every day.
Wow.
For 13 days, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was really, really intense. It's just like these people, they couldn't have handled any more than 3 sessions a day.
What about you?
Well, that's what I remember. I remember it being so incredibly, incredible and intense. That you know, your mind just has, you need time to process. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And from my point of view, we get energized. Both of us get energized a lot when we do the Wonders. It's just them. They give us energy. You know, they told us a long time ago. A lot of channelers, what they do when they channel, they get drained. They literally physically get drained. And the Wonders told me a long time ago, why would you think that we would take your energy? We're energy beings. You know.
So they're giving me energy.
Yeah, so they're, you know, they're giving to me all the time.
Well,
so
if that well, I, real before we get started here, I have to ask. That's an interesting point because if they're giving you energy and these other people are, you know, the channel, and I've heard the same thing, like, boy, this is really draining me to death. Wouldn't that be something a bit more? Maybe it's something a bit more malevolent that they're channeling. I mean, I'm not saying they're like devil worshippers or anything like that, but I mean, if the Wonders, like I said, give you energy, why would these people be drained? Is it just an experience, or is it something that maybe a bit more malevolent or something like that they're channeling?
I think it's both of them. Okay, I think what happens is a lot of people when they start channeling, they get so excited at the fact that they channel that they pick the first thing that comes along. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the energy that's coming through, as you call it, a mid-level energy, it's an energy that is still fearful, that still has a lot of issues, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, these types of energies, these are needy energies that drain people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's the person now, the person, the channeler's belief as well, they have the belief that they're being drained. So you couple that belief with the energy and not being as pure, as clear. I hesitate to use the word pure. I call it clear, okay?
Because
I really don't want to get into that religious thing of purity or anything.
Yeah,
right?
No, I understand.
You know, but it's not a clear energy. So what happens is that, you know, you've got the channeler who's consciousness whose own psychology says this is going to be hard work, and then you've got the energy itself coming through that's needy, and then of course you couple the two and it's draining for the person, you know?
Yeah.
But with what I've channeled, of course, I made a choice when I started to channel. The very first time I channeled, I said, I do not want to channel anything that is not the highest consciousness that could come through in the world at any time. That's all I wanted.
I think a lot of people this may be some of the people, especially in this day and age, they may be the curiosity and or the want, the yearning to contact something may be kind of overpowering their better judgment, I think, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Just making contact is what they want to do, but after that, it's like, what the hell do I do now? How do I deal with this, right?
Well, it's like Ouija boards, you know? It's like the same idea as Ouija boards. That whole thing is a fascinating concept, and you can get caught up with the fascination of it without realizing what you're getting involved in. When I started channeling, I definitely wanted to channel the highest consciousness that could come into through the world at any point in time, past, present, and future, period. That was it. And with that came through the wonders. And I realize the more I've channeled them, the more I realize that they are the highest consciousness that's coming through the world at this time.
Well, we can use them right now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, generally, not just us, like right now, but like I think
the world
can use it right now.
And that's what we're doing. This is, I mean, if you think about it, the wonders have been coming through in this public way now for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've put through over 1,600 hours of channel material on our web, on our shopping cart where people can buy.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 150 hours of radio, our own radio show that we've done as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's another 45 hours that we did with another person's radio show. There's so much information out there, some free, some you have to pay for.
After tonight, I think you'll have 2.5 hours with our radio show.
We might be losing track of time.
I think we did an hour and a half the last time. We'll do an hour tonight. Yeah, there you go.
And this is what happens, you know. But there's so much information right now that really the world can use to help people. The wonders really right now are trying to elevate the consciousness of humanity. This is their basic journey right now. They're trying to move this consciousness of humanity upwards into a consciousness away from that whole fear perspective that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, right now, the world is all caught up in fear with regards to economics and wars and everything else. So it's how do you elevate this consciousness? It has to start with the individual, and the individual has to look at themselves and say, do I want to live my life in fear, or do I want to choose, you know, regardless of fear?
Heck, everybody, you know, that really struck a chord, because really when it comes down to it, I can just tell you myself, I live in fear every day of my life. I get up and go to work. That's a fear right there. Like, if I don't get up and go to work, I don't get money, I don't pay my bills, I'm being potatoes on the street, I'm homeless, and that's a fear. I mean, that's straight up. I'm, you know, especially in this, like you just mentioned, like, you know, the way all the events going on in the world. I mean, I'm scared, Renee. I'm really scared right now.
You decided to change your consciousness, and all of a sudden, in this moment of changing your consciousness, instead of looking at work as I have to, I'm afraid that if I don't work, I'll lose everything, which is lack, of course, that fear of lack. What if you realize that you are an abundant person, and that everything in the universe is there to literally give you all the abundance that you could possibly desire? That literally you are abundance. In other words, it's like you're a magnet. Everything's coming to you. You're strictly 100% abundance,
mm-hmm.
and all you have to do is decide what to choose. What if you did that? Then all of a sudden, work becomes a choice. It's like, what do I choose to do? You know, do I have to, if I don't like my job, do I have to stay here?
Uh-huh.
I can go find another one. And you don't have to sit there and think to yourself, oh my God, everybody's getting laid off, everybody's getting fired, you know, there is no jobs available. It's not, no. What do you want to do? Because once you create that, then you create that whole environment where you can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, look at me. I get paid for sleeping. I mean, really, if you think about that.
Great work, I mean, if you can get it. But
that's what I wanted to
sometimes
do.
Sometimes I get
life.
Paid for sleeping too, Renee.
Don't let your boss hear that.
Quiet. Don't tell anybody.
Okay. Except that I get paid consistently.
There you go. That's better.
No, I see exactly what you're saying, though, Renee, and it's up to me. I know that, you know. I'm hard headed, so hey, what can I do?
Yeah, but you see, again, it's you can't make those choices if you don't know that you are capable of making those choices, and that's what the wonders bring you. They bring you that awareness that hey, you are this amazing, brilliant person that's capable of choosing. and then they guide you through your interactions with them, and through the retreats, through the study groups and the workshops. You get guided to that whole point of, hey, I can make this choice. I can learn from this. And all of a sudden, you start living the life you really wanted to live, as opposed to thinking and wishing that you had the life you wanted to have, but never actually choosing it.
Ah, very interesting. Why don't we bring the Wanderers, like, however you want to do it? Maybe they can help me with this. Maybe they can help Doug with this. I don't know. Maybe they can help us. Let's just both do the break.
I don't think we should have a break.
No,
we should just go right through it.
You guys mind that, Renee?
It's entirely up to you. We don't care.
Let's
go through it because I want to.
Yeah, I want to give you guys as much. I mean, I think we're having as much fun talking here. I look at the clock. I'm like, oh my god, we're at the.
What happened?
Yeah,
no, it's so interesting.
Yeah, no, really
interesting. That's the thing, and I just.
Well, I want to talk to Renee too.
Yeah, I know.
We didn't get to do that very much last time, so it was really cool to talk to you. So, all right, well, yeah, if it's cool with you guys, we'll step back and let you guys do your thing and just.
It'll only take about a minute.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right.
Are you ready, my love?
All set, huh? Please indulge this entity so completely in love that all needs, wants, and desires are chosen.
And greetings.
Greetings, Wonders.
Greetings, Maggie.
Would you please go to the room to where and to when you are directed? Would you please locate your facilitator, Maggie McGuffin-Gazette, on November 26, 2008?
Yes, we have you.
We are gathered here at 8361 11th Line, our number 2 in the town of Thornton in the province of Ontario, to do a reading for the Ghostly Talk radio show. May we begin?
Please.
Thank you. Thank you, Wonders. Okay, guys. Scott and Doug.
Hello.
Hello, Wonders.
Greetings.
It's good to talk to you again. It's been a little while. I think it's maybe been about a year and a half, a couple years, something like that. So
please, introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm Scott L. I'm Scott L. of Ghostly Talk.
And I am...
Greetings, Scott.
Yes.
And I am Doug. It's nice to talk to you again.
Interesting. Good. Let's have fun.
Okay.
I want to talk about this. I know this is
going to
go
diving in.
He literally rubbed his
hands together.
I have been interesting things have happened to me this year, and one of them was I got to attend a séance kind of thing for a magician who used to live here on Earth called Harry Houdini, and he used to go to these séances and debunk. Frauds who were trying to, you know, just get money, but they were saying that they were talking to, you know, deceased loved ones. But I'm wondering, I have read many books, many thoughtful books about seances that seemed successful. And these are learned, scholarly folks who would bring in someone to do a seance who just seemed to have the gift and who could produce things like, you know, trumpets would sound and objects would appear and disappear disembodied voices and messages from deceased people. I'm wondering, in those seances of old, I understand about the fraud part, you know, the people who wanted just to do it for money, but there were people who didn't. Was there a certain amount of real seances going on and real communication and real messages being passed and real phenomena happening?
Yes. There is real communication. As to phenomena, it happens in some very specific occasions, but mostly not. Mostly it's manufactured. But do realize that it can occur. Just because an individual has shifted from a physical realm to the non-physical realm, they're still part of third-dimensional reality. And until they choose to move, to reintegrate and with soul essence, then, dear friend, they're still physically present, even though they're not physically present, if you know what we're saying. The result is that individuals can, who are willing to open themselves to it, can certainly communicate with these, call them ghosts or call them apparitions, if you want to call them that, soul essences. So really, if you see it from that perspective, there is an existence, and there certainly is an ability to communicate. As to the trumpet sounding, et cetera, et cetera, in some cases that can occur. But in the majority of cases, it is manufactured by the mediums themselves in order to enhance their marketability, if you want to call it that.
Wow. Just like today. Wow. Nothing's really changed.
Nothing's changed. We can go on the corner and get a coffee that costs $10.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I have another related question is the people who went to these seances, this doesn't happen very much, you know, in my time frame now, but in the past, people would go to these seances, and the vast majority of the people who went to them really did have issues. I want one more message from my loved one. I want, you know, I want mm-hmm. to know if so and so's okay.
You don't think that happens now in this lifetime?
Oh, I think that happens, but it happens in a different way now.
They're called psychics now. They're not called mediums.
Well,
they're called tarot card readers and palm readers. They're called all kinds of, they're called mediums in some cases, but there's a thirst. People have a thirst for satisfying their needs and their fears. And so many individuals, in fact, the individuals you would most think would be most logical tend to be very emotional at times and look for those kinds of answers.
Yeah, I agree with that because I know, he mentioned curiosity. Okay, go ahead, Doug.
Well, why don't they already know that their loved ones are there waiting? Because I understand the way I see it is, you know, we're here and we won't, you know, be on the other side until after this body's death. But what? Mm. Why don't they already know that they're still loved? Why do they have to have somebody tell them that?
Yeah, good question.
Because they're disconnected from their own oneness, their own awareness of their oneness. Each and every one of you, yourselves, for example, you are part of the oneness. You are the oneness, if you want to call it that. Now, do you know, for example, that you are God? God is the all that is? Do you really, truly know that within yourself? Or is this just a mental concept that you play around with sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
So the resultant is that when doubt sets in, you mistrust yourself, and the resultant is then you look for answers elsewhere. Most individuals, the average human being, is naive, if you want to call it that, with regards to their own connection to the oneness, their own connection to soul essence, their own connection to God. God is the all that is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see themselves that way. They see themselves as separate. And because they see themselves as separate, they create a virtual separation between themselves and all that surrounds them, their loved ones and everything else. And so they need the intermediary to act as the bridge between the separateness of themselves and the separateness of others. And this is why they choose to use it in this way. If you think about it, you are not separate yourselves from anything that surrounds you. Even the trees, the chair you're sitting on, you're not separate from it. Did you know that that chair could talk to you? But you see, you don't think of it that way because you see it as a manufactured equipment. And so you don't see it as having a consciousness. Yet there is within that chair an awareness of its own existence.
Oh, wow. I think it would say, get off me, you're too heavy.
No, see, that's your mind and the mind's interpretation.
Yeah.
It would also say, please don't fart on me.
Yes.
But again, that would be your mind's interpretation.
Yeah. I think, you know, I totally see what you're saying concerning the situation. I mean, and I think what happens is a lot of times they get swallowed up in their own just, you know, you miss this person,
well,
for example.
They get swallowed up in that misery, and
they get disconnected.
And I think that's part of being conscious or part of being here in these bodies or whatever, is that sometimes because, I mean, no matter how great of a understanding you can have of something, like your spot in the universe or your oneness with everything, you can lose it just by getting distracted by, you know, a butterfly flitting by, and then suddenly that becomes your universe. And I mean,
but you see, that's because you're looking at understanding, and you're looking at knowledge being the thought out mental knowledge. When the knowing is within you, when that awareness of who you are exists within you, it cannot be distracted from.
Ooh.
You are truly aware of yourself. That goes even beyond all of the distractions. Even in the darkest, grayest moments, you would know that you are oneness. That you could experience darkness and grayness, absolutely. That you could experience sorrow so painful that it would actually make you double up in pain. Oh, agreed. But even in that doubling up of pain, you would still know that you are oneness. but that this is just an experience that you're experiencing. So the key for most individuals is to come to that understanding within themselves that they, that reawakening to that knowing of who they are. And this is what we're here in, attempting to help humanity come to this awareness of. Because if humanity can come to that awareness of knowing who they are, when they move outside of this planet and go to the stars, they will bring that consciousness to others. There are many, many, call them existences in other planetary systems that are at different levels. Some of them know, some of them partially know, and some of them need that learning, that reawakening as well. So humanity can become call it the adventurers that go out and help others to reawaken as well. Right now, the way humanity is going into becoming the conquerors of all others. Do you see?
The conquerors of all others?
Yes. Humanity is a war, at this point, is a warlike consciousness.
Oh, yeah.
It is a fearful consciousness. And if humanity were to move to the stars right now, it would be in order to overtake, conquer, take over. You see? And we're attempting to shift humanity's consciousness so that it becomes a teacher, a guide for others.
It seems as if that would be the logical step if we were to go to the stars, because I think, like we've just, like we've... You just
not yet it. When, by the way.
Oh, yes, even better. So, but this whole mentality, this fearful mentality, I think one of the biggest fears we have when it comes
true,
to...
because we tend to... You know, I mean, as a human race, I mean, individually, I don't feel this way, but as a race,
as a group, being, we
tend to go and anything that we cannot control, we either get rid of or take control of it.
And you don't do that individually?
Oh, no. No, sometimes I'll sit there and I'll just, you know, watch the sunset and just be. And that those are my most peaceful moments.
Sometimes. What about the rest of the time?
Oh, those are nervous, anxious times. Yeah.
Aren't they the control times?
Where I just try to get through. Yeah. So, and I don't think I mean, there's times when I want to control something or a situation, but it's not.
I'm the control freak. I'm the total control freak.
Yes.
This isn't a game, dear friend. This is not a I'm a better controller than you are game. And what we're saying is that everyone in humanity has a control aspect within themselves. Some exercise it more than others.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is to realize that when you move away from an individual separate consciousness into a group consciousness called humanity, then the group consciousness must move as one. Right now, group consciousness called humanity is moving in as one, but they're moving in a warlike movement.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Mm-hmm. Fearful, warlike movement. And what we're looking to try to do here is, this is why we've come through at this point in time, is to shift humanity's consciousness to one of appreciation, one of love, one of becoming the teachers for all of the universe. You see?
Okay.
I would like that.
Yeah, it'd be very nice.
So, how about you guys doing it on your own? What about you becoming the teacher for others around you? Once you choose to change your consciousness, you become the examples for others. Not that you got to go out and preach it. This is not what we're talking about. There's too many of those in the world. There's, in fact, every teacher in the world that you have in your humanity is a preacher out of control. Or in control, depending on the point of view.
Yeah.
What we're suggesting to you is that you become the examples, that as you walk the planet, others look at you and say, hey, I can do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Do they?
Well, I think we try. We are really, I mean, in all honesty.
Every time you say try, please put a quarter in a jar. When the jar is full, please send it to dear Maggie. She's still waiting for jars.
Well, we do this show. We do this show every week. And the big thing about it, one of the big parts we've learned, besides, you know, we thought it was going to be this show on hunting ghosts and stuff like that back in the day. But we know it's become something much more than that, to the point where we get into a lot of issues, I think, like we're talking about right now, where we're like going, look, you know, we got to straighten our acts up here. We're going to be in big trouble. You know,
right. And as we learn, everyone else learns.
Yes.
Too. So we are on our way.
I'm not going to say the T word again, but I mean, we're doing
we
it.
We have taken steps for that.
We're making our finest attempt. How
but if
sound?
We should, but...
May we interrupt for a moment?
Sure, go ahead.
Yes.
So first realize, dear friends, that your show is not a try. And you're not learning on the show. You're learning from it, yes, mm-hmm. you're growing from it. But it's not because you're learning and growing from it that it's actually that people will learn and grow. It's because of the energy of yourselves has shifted since we last spoke. You yourselves have made choices to change who you are. Your interactions with individuals has shifted. And to the point that now, when you express yourselves, every word you express is a word that is being expressed from a different perspective. So it's not the word you're using, it's not the interactions you have with people that people learn from, though to a degree they will say that they do.
Mm.
It's your energy that actually says to people, you too can be like this.
Mm.
And when you realize that, then your show becomes a, call it a medium if you want to call it that, a medium where people can connect to their you twos. Do you think?
Yes.
So that they, too, can then realize that, hey, it is possible, it is probable, it is, I am capable of being different. When they connect with you, they see a difference. Whether they've never spoken to you before or not makes no difference. They see, they know the difference by just your expression. And if you can realize that, dear friends, then you realize the power of your show.
Well, I never thought about it that way. I mean, like I said, a few minutes ago when I mentioned that we do this show and we try to educate and do things like that, I mean, living in this shell of a body that I have,
I think the wonders are saying it's deeper than just the topics and the
I understand that. Yeah,
it's the whole package, the energy,
the vitality,
the entire thing, yeah.
Look at it this way. Your topics is the, call it the mind candy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the topics are. They're there to fuel the minds of individuals listening. And anyone listening listens because they're fueling their minds. And it's great candy, after all. That's why people keep coming back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody's addicted to candy, they'll understand that.
Mm-hmm.
However, beyond the candy, there is a consistency and a continuousness of yourselves that is deep and broad, and that energy is what's connecting to people. Do you see?
Yes.
So don't misunderstand. Your mind candy may be what gets them in to open the door, but to get to walk through the door is your energy.
That's amazing.
That's I want to spread that more and see how it affects people. I love that.
Well, and that goes for all types of mediums, though, I guess. I mean, not just doing this radio show. I mean, there's people all over the planet doing this stuff.
Writing books, movies, and so some of the energy is spread. Have you noticed an increase in activities that are allowing people to open their minds, or is all of this political stuff that's going on and economic stuff, is that, clouding it?
Yeah. In actual fact, what's going on is there's a lot of activity going on that creates the mind candy.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, all of this economic stuff, all this fear stuff is just another mind candy.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that's all it is. If you love fear, then you're going to really relish this time of existence, aren't you?
Yes.
Mm. So really, it's just mind candy again. So everything, like even the movie The Secret, for example, mind candy, great mind candy. It's wonderful mind candy, by the way. And there are many books that are all mind candy. Even our books, Let's All Get Well Soon, An Exploration of Health Perspectives, is still a mind candy. You see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the minds need that, and that's sufficient for what it is. But underlying that mind candy, there has to be a shift in consciousness. And what we see is the energy of some individuals is starting to express itself with a consistency and a continuance that is much deeper and broader than ever before. There was a time in your history when one individual came through. He was called the Nazarene. Mm-hmm. And everybody thought that he had all the answers. So what did they do? They beat him up. They put him to death. Or they thought they did anyways. I mean, that's for another time. And then, so from there grew religion. Religion, of course, was just another mind candy.
Yeah.
So if you think about it that way, and we know every religious person, including the Pope, will argue with us at this point, but really that's all it is mind candy. The spirituality that is inside of religion, that is buried within religion, is not being exercised enough. You see?
Yes.
It's being caught up and used and altered and shifted by the religious perspectives that define how to exist and how to behave and how to act, et cetera, et cetera. It's the how-to. The how-tos is a mind candy, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So underneath all of that how-to, there is an existence, call it a continuance, a constancy, that really is the spiritual essence of all of existence. And that essence is very simple. It's six statements that we've given humanity that defines all of existence. That's the essence of existence. And if you think about those six statements, then that exists in every individual underlying all mind candy. It exists in you. It exists in in how you express yourselves. Now, if you're expressing yourselves only as mind candy, then what you do is you create separation between those six statements in yourselves, layer upon layer upon layer of separation.
Mm-hmm.
As you begin to become aware of those, that you are those six statements, those layers remove themselves. And as you remove those layers, remove themselves, you become an essence that is, as we said, constant and continuous, so that others can also see those six statements, and they reawaken to their awareness that they too are those six statements. You see?
Yes.
Wow.
And when they do that, then you have a humanity, call it a race, that is capable of expressing themselves as their true essence, those six statements. And then they can be the examples for everyone in the universe, not just individually to each other. Do they?
Yes. These six statements you're talking about, though, I don't know if we discussed this last time. The six statements are, I'm wondering, just to be flat out, these six statements, I'd like to know what they are, if possible. I mean,
they're actually on the website, but we'll give them to you.
Okay.
Thank you. The first, existence is but an extension of yourself.
Okay.
The second, I am sufficient. The third, I am limitless. My choices reflect my limitlessness. The fourth, that which you are is that which I am. And that which I am is that which you are. The fifth, that which you choose, you do so out of joy. And the sixth and final statement, all that I am is love. All that you are is love.
And those are the six statements. And
that defines all of existence, no matter what. That defines God, Goddess, the all that is, ourselves and yourselves.
And the universe itself, too, right?
Exactly.
Oh, okay, cool.
Think about it for a moment. Just, is there any place in the universe that is not sufficient?
Any place in the universe. Now you're making us think. This isn't fair.
Is there any individual that is not sufficient?
I'd have to say no to that. I think everybody has everybody has the potential to rise
not
above
potential. It. No, everybody is sufficient. The statement doesn't say you have the potential to be sufficient. The statement says, I am sufficient.
See, that's so interesting right there, because, I mean, I'm programmed myself. I mean, everything at potential, try this and that, right? And, I mean, these are the words I use every day.
Maggie's going to get a huge jar of quarters.
Yeah, I know. She's going to get rich, you know, for the holidays here. But, I say these words all the time. I know you say them too, Doug.
Yeah.
And these are words that, I mean, they basically, it encompasses failure.
But the statements are, I am.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. These
are.
Exactly.
You are as I am. You know, they're more positives and absolutes than try and be, you know, potential.
Well, I wonder why do humans do this, because I'm not the only one.
Yeah, because it seems like we're our own method of speech limits our
the speech is more importantly our actions, and the speech is how we express the actions. But I mean,
in actual fact, most times what you'll find is that you talk to hear yourself talk.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
And so what happens is you use language that reflects your mind's judgment of who you are, rather than consciously choose to use language that reflects who you really are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I absolutely see that.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a result, your actions oftentimes don't reflect the self. They reflect the mind's illusion of the self.
I'm just processing that. This is terrible radio, but I'm just processing this.
With all these silences.
Yeah, I'm trying to process
I believe it. I do.
The resultant is, then, you live an existence saying to yourself, I wish I were, while you are. Do you see?
Yeah.
So you're going through an existence wishing, but not choosing. And we have a wonderful saying, choosers never wish, and wishers never choose.
That's the truth. That really is the truth.
Yes.
So to become a chooser, you must be willing to consciously observe your existence, not with judgment, not to look at it and say, this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad. Just simply to observe. And in the observation, make a choice. Do I choose this or do I not?
I'm just using, I mean, we're both thinking here. So we apologize if we're not responding. But we're just like,
no, we understand.
And the thing is, man, before we talked to you, we were talking about how empowering...
Yeah,
the wonders are, and I just feel so empowered right now. I feel like I am.
Well, you know, I can say that, you know, first of all, we obviously identify with this, but I know that's something that the reason I know I identify with it is because I've been put in a lot of situations over the last couple of years that have made me have to think like this. Like, look, okay, enough of this crap. You know, I can't be accustomed to defeat, or if I am, I'm going to fail. I need to step in here and put my head down and go for it, right?
But you see, what you're doing, though, dear friend, is that you're waiting until you're at the edge of the precipice. And the only choice left is to either jump and kill yourself or fly.
Okay.
And we're saying, why live an existence on the edge of a precipice? Why not just choose all the time?
Yeah, and that way you don't have to worry about being in situations like that. It's actually really good preventative management, it sounds like. That's what it sounds like.
But,
So, yeah, I mean, this whole ad, I mean, it's empowering, like you said, Doug. I'm going to say you're
beautiful, and this is perfect for the holidays. Speaking of the holidays are a great time to reflect upon your family and your friends and your position in life. I know people should do it every day and every minute of every day, but
what I said the other day.
But the holidays are a great time to take back and actually have some time off work to spend with friends and family and things like that, and actually get connected. So what would be a great holiday message to folks?
You are sufficient.
That's a great holiday message.
I
love that message.
Recall at the beginning of the session, we greeted you. We said greetings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we say greetings, everything that we are extends itself to you.
Okay.
Imagine if you did that to every person you met. Greetings, my name is Scott. Greetings, my name is Doug.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine how powerful that would be. Everything. Now, not just a mental concept here. This is not just let me tell you greetings, like hello. How are you? How many people say hello, how are you? They don't really want to know the answer.
No, they don't really care. It's just a figure of speech. Yeah.
But what if you said greetings? Just that. Greetings.
Well, I mean, it's more than just a word. I mean, it's the intent behind it, obviously.
The intent behind it, though.
You're extending yourself.
Not the intent. Not the intent. Mm-hmm. It's the energy of yourself sharing itself with those around you.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. So if you really want to give a holiday message, greetings.
You are sufficient. You are sufficient.
Yeah. Imagine that if everywhere in the world there was a billboard that said, I am sufficient. Imagine that for a moment. How many people would look at that every day as they go to work, suffering from road rage, and yet at the same time, as soon as they looked at it, they would connect. Road rage would stop. All of a sudden, fear would settle down. People with perspectives of lack would say, maybe I can choose differently. Struggle would ease. Conflict would dissipate. Imagine that. All because the saying, I am sufficient, was posted on billboards all over the world.
That's a fantastic
idea.
Yes,
it is.
Is it?
Well, yeah, I mean...
Because it does, even just reciting it in my head, I am sufficient, has a calming effect. Like, I don't...
Yeah, I don't need
I
to worry about all this crap.
Here. I don't
I
have
can, yeah,
to...
Yeah,
yeah it's
if you want to discover more about these statements, there's a book we've completed entitled Defining Statements of Existence.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also completed a series on each of those statements. So there's a great deal of information that helps individuals explore those statements.
I would love to delve into that, yeah.
Yeah, and we're at the top of the hour, too, unfortunately.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm so bummed
this
also.
Is all the time we get with you.
Yeah, well, the website, well, let's say the website again is thewonders.com. Check that out.
Before you end this,
yes.
may we suggest that you revisit us again?
Please. Mm-hmm. We'd love to.
The choice is yours. The choice is always yours.
We'd love to revisit you guys again, maybe longer next time. We should, for a longer time next time.
Why don't you make the arrangements with dear Renee and dear Maggie? And before you end this radio show, allow us to leave and let dear Renee come back.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
And then that way, you can have a mending conversation with him.
Fantastic. Thank you, Wonders.
Wonders, thank you so much.
We do thank you.
Good
to
talking
you
to you again. Take care of yourself.
To you all, the appreciation of all.
Bye-bye.
The appreciation of all, Wonders. Wonders, may we move to end this session?
Please.
Please perform all healings that are chosen.
Done.
Please relax the body to its natural state now.
And to you all, the appreciation of all.
The appreciation of all, Wonders. I would like Renee to awake feeling completely lost now.
Wow. Came out of that session, I feel good. I feel like all of a sudden, I got pictures in my head of the billboard where I am sufficient. It's all over the world. I got 100 million billboards all over the world saying I am sufficient. Cool.
They left that with you because that's one of the things we talked about. It was extremely informational and I just feel so calm and happy. And
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
I can honestly say this, and people know me out there. I've had a very long week here with work and stuff like that. I'm pretty fatigued right now. And when we got into this interview, I was kind of like, I was tired, but I was ready to go. I was ready to get it on and do this thing. But I feel actually much more alert right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling awake, you know what I mean? And I do feel a bit more energized, so that was really cool. So thank you, Renee. We thanked the Wonders already. We appreciate
it. Oh,
that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Glad you enjoyed it.
No, it's always great to talk to you guys, and we always learn so much in the short time we have together. So.
But, you know, we can do this anytime.
We got to do it. We have to do it again. We definitely have to do it again. But unfortunately, we do have to go to break here. This is like a total bummer. I'm so bummed right now. But again, thank you, Renee, and thank you, Maggie, for joining us again. We'll have to bring you back on sooner.
Yes, I like that. Happy holidays to both of you.
Yeah, happy holidays.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, hang on the line. Just hang on the line for one second. We're just going to go to break here. Hang tight. This is...
Everybody, wow. I want you to go to
www.thewonders.com
and look up all the information. There's some free, some are, you know, books and DVDs, and they have now
check
these retreats.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an amazing thing.
There's now is electronic downloads, too. People can just actually buy a downloaded file.
Oh, okay.
An MP4 file.
Oh, cool.
That's fantastic. And so you can even get it, like, in time for the holidays.
You can get it instantly if you save by PayPal.
And I think it's fantastic. And so thewonders.com. And thank you, Renee, and thank you, Maggie.
Ghostly Talk! You have been listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio. The Ghostly Talk audio program is distributed for free under the Open Content License. Please share with all your friends and support independent media.